Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 88 for February 12th, 2007. Batteries included. It's time for TWiT 88, the rainy streets of San Francisco carrying their burden of commuters home as we gather to talk about iPods in New York being banned, Steve Jobs turning off copy protection, quantum computing, and Yahoo Pipes. Joining us today on TWiT, John C. Dvorak, the leader of the pack.
Dvorak.org/blog.
Take a drink. Make it a kashasa. Kahasha. Kahasha.
Kashasa.
Kashasa. Will Harris from Jolly Old is here. Are you still at bit-tech.net?
For just a little bit longer.
Say for the nonce.
Sorry?
I thought that was a Britishism. Anglicism.
Yeah, nonce means something else.
Oh, never mind then. I'm sorry. Once again, sticking my foot in it.
We're backing Adam Curry territory.
Yeah. Merlin Mann is here. His first TWiT from 43 Folders. Hello, Merlin.
Hello, Leo.
Good to have you. Merlin's
it's a pleasure to be here.
Linguistics coach, so it's his fault that I said nonce.
I'm teaching you that click language on the side.
And we just said something really horrible. And also joining us from Buzz Out Loud at CNET and a former executive producer of the tech TV website, Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you.
Good to be back.
Veronica was on briefly, but she refused to stick around.
Yeah, she just put her foot down and said no.
I think it had something to do with, I don't know, work? We don't understand.
Yeah, work.
I think it's just another indicator that women moan and groan about the fact that there's male-dominated little areas that we create. They don't want to join us.
She'll join sometime in the future.
Let's be fair.
Sprung it on her at the last minute.
Let's be fair. Exactly. We said, do it now. And, of course, she has a job.
Most 90% of the guys, if you told them to do it now, they would.
Oh, it's a guy thing?
No, I mean, just say no.
You mean guys women have no sense of responsibility?
Yeah, sure.
No, I don't think women like doing this stuff. I think that they talk
Veronica
a big game.
Veronica wants to do it.
That's not true. Molly Wood and Veronica Belmont do a show with me every day for
every
a half
day.
Hour.
Yeah.
They
a
talk a big game, but when it comes down to it, you know. We're talking about the big leagues here, Tom, not your little show.
Oh, please. His show is a lot bigger than this one. Has anybody tried Yahoo Pipes yet?
I was playing around with it this afternoon. I can't make heads or tails of how to make it work yet, but the stuff that people have already built is kind of cool.
At least you can get on
now. Can somebody explain what it is, please?
Oh, it's kind of a hard explanation. It's basically, you're going to hate this, John. You know Unix pipes? Well, it's like that, only for the web.
Well, what's the point?
Merlin, can you explain better than that?
Yeah, I mean, I play with it just a little bit. On one level, I guess, call it a mashup tool. The idea is that you can take different kinds of, like, RSS feeds from different places and apply little bits of logic to it to kind of mash it up in different forms. And that's a very short explanation of it.
Is it a scripting language?
No.
The neat part is it's a drag and drop GUI.
It's rad.
So you can basically say, you know, I want to take this feed and that feed, and I want to, for example, actually Boing Boing was saying, well, you know, if you don't like posts by a certain, author, you can say just remove those. So you apply a little logic to mashing up feeds and then kind of make new stuff out of it.
So what have you tried, Tom,
to use
that you like, because they have a lot of people have made pipes.
Yeah, well, most of my time was spent connecting the little pipes themselves because the visual interface is really cool, but I didn't have enough time to learn it to make anything real. I looked at the New York Times Flickr mashup, which searches the New York Times feed. It takes the New York Times feed and searches for keywords there, does an analysis of some sort, and then comes up with Flickr images related to the stories that are on the front page of the New York Times.
So that's an example. It's a mashup of Flickr and the New York Times. But you don't need to use Ruby on Rails anymore. You just draw, and it does it.
Yeah.
Used to be you'd have to cobble together crazy Perl libraries and screen scraping. And so, for example, if you wanted to make one all-encompassing page that pulled in all the Leo feeds in one place, that's something you could whip together pretty quickly.
Or somebody else could. The thing that's, I think, the reason it's a hot news story, I mean, it is a cool technology, but it also is the first time in quite a while that Yahoo has been first at anything. I mean, this is completely unique. Google probably is saying, we should have thought of that. It's pretty impressive.
And it's also not something that they've had to buy in.
Right.
All the cool stuff Yahoo's done recently has been bought in, and this seems to be straight from the labs.
I think in some ways it puts Yahoo back on the map as an innovator, don't you think?
Does certainly, it came out of nowhere. I don't think anybody was expecting
it. Did they buy it from somebody? Do we know?
Well, we don't know, but it doesn't look like they did.
You know, I just did a search on the thing for IPTV. God, nothing, of course.
Well, you have to create, but see, you could create an IPTV pipe.
Yeah, maybe I will.
I know, it's not so much, I think it's cool, but it's not so much what you could do with it. It's just that this is, I think, from...
I think there's a real need for this stuff. I mean, there's been sites out there, at least for my own usages, how I see myself using it. There's been stuff out there before like Superglue, which I'm not sure even exists anymore, which is a site where you could point it at a bunch of feeds, and then it would make one kind of page that would assemble all that. And I think for somewhere between like the complete, you know, geeks and, you know, the standard users, just for a power user, this is the kind of thing where you could make some really interesting stuff.
Well, look at the guy.
Can you put it on a page when you're done? Or do you have to go to the Yahoo?
You can give
site?
Somebody's pipe. Somebody a pipe. Oh, it does come from Yahoo, though, doesn't it?
But well, I think you can subscribe to it.
So it is an RSS feed.
Yeah.
So you can get an RSS feed out of the whole thing?
Yeah.
So now, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. I can create a bunch of pipe. I can do as much as I hate the term mashup, but I can take a bunch of these things and make some sort of a mess, let's put it that way. And then I can make that into an RSS feed, and then I can subscribe to that RSS feed.
And
then I can put that RSS feed on my blog over on the right-hand side where I can put RSS feeds. I can?
Yeah. Jason Calacanis is going to hate this. He, you know, we just ran Twill with This Week in Law, and he was railing against the idea of other people taking, this was when he was still at AOL, but taking the feeds and making their own feeds out of them. But this is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It might undermine the ability to monetize something, but the whole idea of RSS.
I don't see how.
Is,
I mean, you get the RSS, you're getting you're getting links back to wherever it is. I mean, it's the same link. What difference does it make how it's retrieved?
Right. It's very cool interface. You got to play with the interface, John.
I'm playing with it now.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
I think one of the coolest things about it, too, is that people will be able to take advantage of it without having to build a pipe.
Right.
There'll be a lot of pre-made pipes that you can configure. But
and
if you want to,
yourself, right?
You can go in and modify it yourself and play with it. So, you know, there's the idea of creating your own newspaper, you know, that's always been out there where you pull in the best articles from the different sources is sort of a step closer to reality with it.
But if you don't want... stories about you know what's her name? You just
Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah, you knew.
Do I have to?
We're on a wavelength, Will. You could eliminate all the stories about Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah.
Just, you know, so you don't.
Well,
see
I'm
those.
Putting these. Well, I'm putting these pipes together. Are these turtles coming after me? Is that going to happen?
Turtles? Do you see turtles?
Never mind.
You just got
somebody
make sure
out there.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Is that what you're talking about?
I'm thinking of the Mario and the pipes.
Oh, okay. I don't.
Well, you just got to make sure your pipes don't get clogged, right?
that's the tubes. So, you know, this actually does prove that Ted Stevens was right.
Ted's a visionary.
He was close.
Maybe he knew Yahoo was up to this
series of pipes. He was close.
I think this is a very interesting thing that Yahoo's done, and you know, I subscribed to a service. It was called DigDot, and then Kevin sued him, and now it's DogDot. But that aggregated Dig and Slashdot and Delicious. And this would be easy, trivial to do something like that now.
A lot of people are doing this. I mean, I do this right now inside my feed.
I'm sorry. Give us that. What was that again? Yig.dot?
D-O. Yeah. No. D-O-G. It's actually still D-I-G-G-D-O-T dot. God, U.S., I think. Let me see. I'll have to check it because I haven't been there in a while. I just see that's an interesting thing. I don't go to their site.
doggdot.us.
Yeah, I think DigDot still works, but Kevin got mad at him, and not Kevin personally, the team of lawyers that he has hired. So they had to change that. As did many places that had the word "dig" in their title. So I guess the big story, besides the Anna Nicole Smith story, is Steve Jobs. Really kind of surprising Ooh, everybody boy. By putting a essay right there on Apple.com saying, "Hey, a challenge to the record industry. You don't have to put copy protection in. You don't put it on CDs. Why are you putting it on digital music? Apple doesn't want you to do it. Stop.
Yeah, he does it himself, though. What's the what we get?
Well, he
about
does it.
Here?
He says now. See, I think this is interesting because people, I think, have a long time. I am one of them. Have assumed that the reason Apple loves DRM is it forces people to use the iPod when they buy songs from the iTunes Music Store. It preserves their monopoly. He says, no, we do it because it's in our contracts with the record companies. From day one, they insisted on it.
There's a discrepant piece of information here. I mean, maybe that's what I thought, too. But I was I was scheduled to do a CNBC thing, but it just didn't work out because we lost our line. But I listened in on that. What's her, Roy's in, the one that used to be the head of the Heidi. RIAA?
Oh.
No, not Heidi, the other one.
Hillary Rosen.
And she said that's not true. She said that Steve should get off the pot if he wants to cut it loose. That's what she said.
Well, he could for indie labels. I mean, there are plenty of indie labels who would like to sell un-DRM'd music on iTunes, but they're told they can't, that they have to have it DRM'd.
There you have it.
Larry Lessig made that point right away. He said, okay, Steve, put up or shut up. Let's see you un-DRM those artists that don't want it.
What about the stuff that Apple puts up? I mean, stuff like his keynote address. Does that have
those
DRM in
it? Those aren't copy protected, no.
That's just a pure straight A.
And he has not, I might point out, at any time suggested that they take the DRM out of the TV shows and the movies they sell.
No, that's interesting. Huh?
But I think this is obviously a response to Norway and France saying, you've got to open up the iPod. He says, we can't open it up because the record companies won't let us open it up. From day one, not only did they insist on copy protection, they insisted on a system that if it were cracked, which it has been several times, could be fixed within weeks. He says copy this. Actually, I thought this was great. He says DRM doesn't work. He says the record companies already release their music without DRM. In fact, most music is sold that way. Let us, let your music free.
I mean, does anybody else think this is just like a negotiating tactic? Like, we all know that the record labels, they're pushing for more and more and more. They got the, Universal's got its Zune deal to get its cut or whatever. And I think there's a quote, wasn't there, that the Universal guy was saying, well, now maybe we get this with Apple and the iPod. And I think this is just Steve sort of like pushing back in the other direction and saying, okay, so you want a cut of iPod sales and we want you to, release all your music with no DRM. Maybe the final position is we just carry on as we are, which suits Apple quite fine. Thank you very much.
Well, I don't think the record companies have to cave to Steve. I think that Steve makes a point. I think a lot of others have observed it wouldn't hurt. Would it hurt Apple to get rid of the copy protection? They already have a monopoly. It's not going to, they don't need it anymore. And it certainly would make consumers happier. And wouldn't you buy more music?
I think they'd sell a lot more music. It may hurt them on the device side, maybe. There's an argument to be made that people wouldn't buy an iPod if they didn't have to shop at the iTunes Music Store. But I think a lot more people would also shop at the iTunes Music Store because I don't. I never buy music there.
Probably increase iPod sales for all we know.
You think? Yeah,
yeah,
probably.
They're dominant because it's the best player, not because you have to have it to shop at iTunes.
It's classic Steve in the sense that he comes out there and he re-grabs control of the conversation and puts everybody else on the defensive.
It's a jiu-jitsu.
So now he's the good guy. That's right. Now he's the good guy looking out for the consumers, and he's going to leave it to everybody else to just go fight it out.
Do you think record companies?
I don't mean to jump ahead in the conversation too far, but do you think he knew about EMI? Announcement when he put his posting up?
According to the Chicago,
or it's not even an announcement, it's a leak.
According to the Chicago Sun-Times, EMI has been pitching the possibility of selling its entire music collection to the public in MP3, unprotected. According to the article, several other major music companies have considered the same route, but none have gone as far as EMI has. Now, first of all, doesn't say what bitrate MP3. The record companies have historically, done things like 96 kilobit MP3. Mm-hmm. And if you want the good version, you're going to have to have DRM. They're the third largest music company. They have the Beatles, lots of artists, Norah Jones. It would be,
That's
here's the
two.
Issue. Is this the, well, they have quite a few. They have the Beastie Boys.
I know.
Jay Giles Band.
Yeah, it's a bunch of dinosaurs you're mentioning here.
My blood ran
cold. The kids
cold.
Are going to the indie stuff. Come on.
My memories have just been sold. Da, 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 da. Anyway, I think that frankly, this is the beginning of the crack in the DRM iceberg, and it's gonna melt faster than the sheets of ice in Greenland.
Well, he's done a lot to raise awareness of DRM amongst the general public, hasn't he, with this? Because it's been all over the mainstream media. And how many DRM stories do you see in the mainstream media?
Well, exactly. And I'll tell you, it was at the front page of every newspaper. I got called by radio stations. I mean, this brought the issue very much to the foreground.
Okay, so what do we conclude here since we're languishing?
Are we languishing?
That's what I
thought. Are we concluding? What are we?
Well, I would hope.
Well, okay, here's my questions for you. Would removing DRM hurt Apple in any way?
Yeah.
Would it be good for music sales?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Here's the tough one. Now, Steve asserts it wouldn't hurt the record companies either because it doesn't work. Would it hurt the record companies to remove copy protection?
No.
Anybody believe it would? Besides the record companies?
No, it wouldn't. Why would it?
Why would it? They're already. If you don't want copy protection, you just buy a CD.
And how on earth can it increase piracy? Piracy is already a vast majority. Surely it can only go down.
I totally agree with that. I mean, right now they're competing with free pirated music by putting out broken music. So how would changing it to unbroken music that is easily available to everyone hurt them?
Cory Doctorow has been saying for months
sales will go up.
Copy protection is about to fail, to be phased out. We saw it once before. Remember there was, in the early days of computing software, a lot of stuff was copy protected.
Oh, yeah.
Almost everything. And they realized it's not doing any good, and it's just pissing off our customers.
It's really, I mean, increasingly it's just something that's just a hindrance, for the honest consumer who's actually spending the money.
So Steve's going to come out of this smelling like a rose. He's going to be the guy who pushed, blew the trumpet.
We've been pushing it longer than he has.
Well, another thing that's interesting, though, is I think it's going to continue to increase the rift we start to see between the future for artists and the future for labels. Because the people who are going to be hurt potentially, I mean, I'm not saying they will be, but if anybody could be hurt, I think it's going to be the labels with that. I think it's going to be great for artists if they do it, just because it's going to be so much easier to get the word out on these
bands. A lot of artists are worried about this. A lot of artists
are there's layers of artists. I mean, there's high-end artists that make millions.
Metallica doesn't like this.
There's a certain layer of artists that think that they're just being ripped. They just really see themselves as there's two kinds. One of them, there's a big group like Metallica. They see themselves as the center of the universe and then people stealing their music. And then there's the small artists that sell the very, they don't really have a lot of sales. And then they see that everybody who takes a song is literally taking money from their pockets because they really they're not doing a big business. And those are the artists that complain the most.
Well, haven't the studies shown that the people who benefit from free MP3s the most are the smaller artists? It's if anybody stands to lose from piracy, it's the larger artists who really do sell a lot. But the small artists actually benefit because it gets their name out there and they benefit from people becoming aware of them.
Well, there's whole services now that you can hire that will go out there and basically scrape the P2P networks to give you the equivalent of a Billboard chart. And, don't think for a minute that the labels are not out there hiring people to go and watch that stuff. And if you go out and do a P2P search, you're going to find, you're going to find some indie artists, but by and large, you're going to find the big fat part of that curve is going to be the Britney Spearses of the world that are out there. So, like I think it was Will said, the toothpaste is out of the tube at this point.
It's been a bad week for the recording industry. The RIAA got slapped by a judge who is going to award attorney fees to one of the plaintiffs in a RIAA versus thief lawsuit.
Yeah, thief, a.k.a. grandma.
Grandma Debbie Foster, an Oklahoma woman who said, I don't know what this is all about. Why are you bothering me? Now, it turns out her daughter probably was up to no good, and that's what the record companies say. However, when they found that out, they didn't drop Ms. Lee from the lawsuit, or Ms. Foster from the lawsuit. They kept her in. Judge,
yeah, too much effort to make those changes.
Judge Lee R. West dismissed the original lawsuit and the counterclaim, ruled that Foster was the prevailing party, and said, "And you get attorney's fees." So the RIAA, they call this DriftNet lawsuits because they just try to pull in everybody, and they don't care who gets bit by it. RIAA says we respectfully believe the court got it wrong.
They can respectfully
kiss my
jump off the nearest cliff.
The problem with the judicial system today, people like that abuse the system. It is inexcusable.
So really the question, and I think it is does this kind of cast some pall on the RIAA's techniques? $50,000 in attorney's fees isn't a big deal for the RIAA.
Yeah, drop in a bucket for them.
They'll keep doing it, right?
Yeah, but times that by the thousands of people that they're suing, and it starts to get not insignificant.
The daughter settled. It was the mom who fought on. The daughter said, she got a default judgment, let's put it that way. She didn't contest it.
I think they'll keep going with this because they figure most of the people they're after are guilty of something in the eyes of the law, and so they'll prevail most of the time. And every once in a while, they might have to drop $50K, but it won't happen often enough to deter them.
Well, and it's really not the point of it isn't the people they pull in these drift nets. It's to send a strong message to the rest of the world. Hey, you know, you could get in trouble for this, and don't do it. And I think it's the carrot and the stick. It's a reasonable stick, don't you think? They claim it's been working. I don't see any evidence of that.
Well, but the same side, they claim that piracy is on the rise, and that's why they need to keep DRM.
It's working, but
it's not working too well.
not that well. So I love this one. Kodak says that I've never really done this calculation, but they estimate that the cost of ink for inkjet printers when you buy the cartridge is around $4,000 or $5,000 a gallon.
Wow. That's more expensive than Starbucks.
And so they're going to charge $90 on their new printers. You have to use a Kodak printer. $9.99 for black, $14.99 for color. It's one way to get attention and get people to buy your printers. I don't know if they're any good printers, but wow.
Seems high.
$5,000 a gallon. Well, there's not a lot of ink in those inkjet cartridges. When you put it that way, it does seem like a ripoff, doesn't it?
And especially because all the sort of fancy ones that have chips in to tell you how full they are. And they all tell you that they're empty and tell you that you can't use it. Well, there's still stuff left in it.
Right.
Is anybody else here buying those totally cheap off-brand?
Hell yes.
I mean, it's the difference in price is unbelievable, and I don't see a bit of difference.
They're only $2,000.
I buy the off-brand for some printers and other printers I don't. It depends on the printer and what I use it for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always try to get the off-brand if I can. Absolutely.
Because you have to find a good off-brand. Maybe it was BS, but I had a lecture at one of these Macintosh shows from one of these guys who sells off-brands, and he says some of this stuff is crap.
Well, some of the major stuff is crap. I mean, I don't know how many of the real thing I've used that break or say they're empty when they're half full. I mean, it's kind of a crapshoot anyway.
I always buy the house, the label.
But you got the money. We have to.
I just feel like it's just, I don't want to deal a hassle. And then there's, of course, the people who use the hypodermic needles to inject new ink.
What a mess.
Yeah,
that's a bad idea.
In the life's too short column.
John, I think you had something in your DRM column about how your time is worth more than it takes to go out and find DRM music. It's definitely your time is worth more than spending, time injecting.
Spread newspapers all over the table.
Ink. And then having to clean it up.
Ruin a good pair of pants that way.
It's so funny, though, that the Polaroid model kind of works for some kinds of things. Like, I'm pretty addicted to a certain Gillette razor that I wish I wasn't paying so much for. But I feel like I get a lot more out of it. Paying $15 or $20 for an inkjet replacement, I don't get a lot of joy out of that. I'm not getting value out of that.
I was watching the Saturday Night. They finally released the first year of Saturday Night Live as a DVD. It's very educational, but one of the things they do in one of the first few episodes is they mock the Gillette Mach 2 razor, the two blade razor. With a three blade razor. Now this is 1974, and they get a lot of comedy value out of the fact that no idiot would buy a three blade razor. Well, of course, now we're doing, what is it, five now? You could buy five bladed razors.
14, I think. Yeah,
with one on the back.
Yeah,
there's one little
one
on
the
back.
For
I bought the one with the vibrator built in. I thought two for one, and actually it does. It does work.
What about the shaver, Leo?
No, literally, it has a little. It has a battery in it. What is it?
That's a woman's one, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's got the manly design. They have a pink one for women, but it's got...
It's the Extreme Mac 4 or something.
Yeah,
isn't it? It's silver and orange, and I have one. It's
got four
funky.
Or five blades. It's got a... I mean, what... How, I guess it's tough to think of new reasons to buy it.
My hotel left me one of those for free when I was at CES.
Wow.
And I tried it. I don't understand what the vibrating does.
I don't either.
I thought it was going to cut me up when I used it. I just turned it off.
It's to wake you up in the
morning. You guys are missing the point, but that's another story.
I just feel good afterwards. It's the only razor with a happy ending built in. Senator...
Whoa.
State Senator Carl Krueger of New York State is going to introduce, according to TechShot.com, going to introduce legislation that would ban the use of handheld devices like BlackBerries, iPods, and portable video games while crossing streets in New York City.
Yeah, it's true. We reported it on News.com, too. He has proposed the bill.
Well, and I think it's right, because, I mean, that's dangerous.
Well, apparently this guy does this to get attention. So one of the listeners of Buzz Out Loud wrote in and said he always proposes these wacky bills. He never gets any of them any serious consideration. But come on.
He says three pedestrians were accidentally killed in Brooklyn since September 2006, stepping into traffic because they had an electronic gadget, even though bystanders were screaming, "Watch out!"
iPods don't kill people. Idiots get killed.
What are you supposed to do? Take off the iPod when you get to the street and put it back on when you get across?
You should pay attention. I mean, whether you're wearing an iPod or not, should pay attention.
No, it's not the iPod. It's the BlackBerries. And I'm as bad as anybody. But how many, I mean, really, seriously.
BlackBerries.
I've actually walked into walls.
There needs to be some sort of a 12-step program about BlackBerries.
Seriously.
Well, now you combine Twitter with my BlackBerry, and I actually can't stop typing. It's compulsive.
And you're a multiple device guy. That's the thing that gets me. It's not like you've just got the BlackBerry. You've got this, like, Chewbacca bandolier full of electronic yeah. devices you're always checking.
That was awesome.
Thank you very much.
Next.
Did anybody see Bill Gates on The Daily Show?
Yeah.
I did. Did you see the ridicule the next day?
From YouTube.
Was he good?
No.
No, he
wasn't. Fell asleep about halfway through.
He was pretty nervous. And then the next day, if you didn't see that, that was the best part because then they ridiculed him.
The Daily Show ridiculed him?
Well, at the end of the show...
Because they didn't have enough guts to ridicule him in person?
No, because what happened on the show, and I don't know whether or not this was planned or what, but Gates gets up at the end of his little presentation. You know, the rapport between the two wasn't that good, and Gates had that, that kind of fake smile half the time, which is always annoying. And he gets up and walks off the stage before he shake hands, and he just leaves.
Let's play a little clip with Jon Stewart talking about this.
Program last night, our guest was Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates, and I don't know if you noticed, but he left in a bit of a hurry. Take a look at the footage. Thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it.
Bill Gates! He's walking off.
Right now.
He just leaves.
Now, stop that for a second. So what happens? Whoops, you got me on a loop there.
Yeah.
So what happens the next day, they do a bit.
This is what's going on.
A lot of people seem to have missed this because I talked to people at Wagner Edstrom and nobody saw this, but it was hilarious. At the end of the show, they said, yesterday Bill walked off the stage and you missed the end of it. And so then they have a phony Bill walking down the hallway, pushing people over, throwing stuff in the guy's face and calling another guy a weasel and pushing him down. Bill can rush over to the microwave and get his popcorn.
Oh, is that what it was?
That is the cleaner version that we did for television. Here is what actually happened in the studio. Thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. Bill Gates, Windows Vista on sale.
Bill Gates has encountered a problem and needs to leave. We're sorry for the inconvenience.
Apparently, he encountered a problem and he needed to leave.
That was the error message. I guess this clip, this is YouTube, of course, doesn't have the rest of it. But
yeah, the rest of it is actually pretty funny. And it's always from the behind Bill. So, and actually the guy who acted, the actor, resembled him enough to make the thing kind of hilarious.
I see. It's in the credits. Here, let me play it.
You can't just leave.
There he goes. He's walking around. He does. He looks just like him. Bad sweater. Bad collar.
Seconds to go. I got to get there. Seconds to go. It's almost time. Get the hell out of my way. Hand claw. Activate. Successful. Door. Here. Upgrade your shirt. I got a joke for you.
Hey, Gates. What the hell?
Almost there. Seconds to go. I can smell it. Oh, popcorn. You won't laugh at me.
That is very funny, I have to say.
So, Leo, are you playing that on YouTube? Because isn't all the Viacom stuff supposed to be gone from YouTube?
Well, I get it before it's gone. I don't know.
They pulled
a lot of stuff.
Now, there's a story we need to discuss. Is Viacom that stupid that they pull all the stuff off of YouTube when it's nothing more than free publicity?
I mean, look what we just did. And I'm not going to, what am I going to go to the Viacom site and find it? No, I'm going to go to YouTube and search for Bill Gates Daily Show, and there it is.
Well, that's what they're wanting people to do. They want them to go to ComedyCentral.com and get the video there. And they're making it shareable, so you can cut and paste and put it on MySpace. So they figure they'll still get the free publicity, but they'll be in control of it.
But you want a centralized place. That's the whole point.
Well, the problem, of course, Tom, is in that situation is that, yeah, that's true. And it might be a good thing if you're very myopic. But the fact of the matter is when you're on YouTube, people might stumble upon this when they're just doing a Bill Gates search for something else. They're not going to do that at the other site because they're not going to be at that other site. I mean, when you have that many people that are cramped into one room, which we'll call YouTube, I mean, you want to exploit that if you can, because there's
what do they lose?
It's like foot traffic at a mall. I mean, you want to be where there's the most foot traffic. What are these people thinking? Do they even know what marketing is?
I agree. And what have they lost? The banner ads on their Comedy Central page? The chance that somebody might
click all house ads.
Pre-roll video ads. That's what they want.
But they can put it in that. So what they do is do what NBC does.
Right.
And say, here you go, YouTube. Here's our clips with our pre-roll.
No, I think it's myopic. I mean, I guess they're thinking they'll get as much out of MySpace, out of YouTube, but there's still different audiences, and they're just cutting one out.
Yeah, no, it's just a blunder.
They're cutting me out because I'm too lazy to actually search for this stuff. Although now with Google, you could pretty much find anything. You've heard about Google, right?
No, what about Google?
Video games. Just a joke.
Wait, is that a search engine?
Yes, exactly. Video games are good for your eyes, Will Harris. U.S. researchers have found that playing first-person shooters, far from making you blind, will actually improve your vision. They studied people who played action games for a few hours a day over the course of a month, 20% improvement in their visual acuity.
Oh, I'm not buying this.
My glasses say otherwise.
That's not from video games. That's from something else. According to a professor of brain, look at this, Daphne Bavelier is a professor of brain and cognitive sciences, John. She's a professor.
And Daphne?
She's a professor. And she says she says it better than this. But
it's easy for you to say.
She says action video gameplay. Oh, there's the problem. Changes the way our brains process visual information. These games push the human visual system to the limits, and the brain adapts to it. The learning carries over to other activities and possibly everyday life, as long as you don't cross the streets in New York City.
So Viva Pinata won't help, but Gears of War is great for your vision.
Gears of War is good for you, but not
I'm
Viva
still
Pinata.
Playing Half-Life 2.
Is Viva Pinata that good? Everybody seems to love it. I don't get it.
What is Viva Pinata?
It's a pinata game.
Oh, it's like whack-a-mole.
It's like Pokemon on steroids.
Yeah, or Animal Crossing.
It's like an uber Pokemon.
Yeah.
So would a grown-up enjoy this game?
It's all right. Yeah.
My girlfriend loves it.
Really?
Yeah, mine too. My wife loves it.
Does she beat on you with a stick?
Trying to get
comment there, I guess. Okay. From the Daily Mail. That's from your country. Did you see this picture of the woman from Toshiba?
No self-respecting person in this country reads the Daily Mail.
You know, that's what I every time we blog something on the dvorak.org/blog, that's so you can have another drink. I get more hateful email in the comments from people in Britain saying nobody reads the Daily Mail.
Well, they make stuff up.
How do these people stay in business if nobody reads the Daily Mail?
Somebody reads it.
Well, okay, put it another way. Nobody in the demographic that's reading Dvorak.org/blog is reading the Daily Mail.
Oh, my God. Anna Nicole Smith died.
Oh, wow.
I saw it on the Daily Mail.
The thing is, though, okay, so, this looks fake. It's probably fake. But so this person has this thing on their head. So why are they in front of a big screen
if
they've
question.
Got a wraparound TV screen inside their little toilet bowl headgear?
Are you guys on the Daily Mail site deal?
Well, can you describe it, Leo? It kind of looks like a big black robot toilet with a big bubble on it.
They say it weighs 3 kilograms, which is...
Is it dailymail.uk or what?
There's a link in our delicious tags, John.
I didn't see it.
Go back.
One giant step for home entertainment is the title of the story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this the way we'll be enjoying our television programs and computer games in the future? In this astonishing photo, a model is wearing a new gadget.
You're Dickensian.
We'll apparently be enjoying them in Australia.
My God.
You know, the beautiful part is, though, it only
that
works
is
on
hilarious.
Games. With,
I'm blogging that immediately.
It only works on one-player games because you'll never find a second person.
Well, you can't
You're
going to
die
them.
Alone with that thing on your head.
Yeah, from a broken neck.
Help! I'm stuck in the toilet!
And, you know, people out there are listening to the show wondering, what the heck?
Well, it looks like a, it sort of looks like a CRT monitor, like a huge 30-inch CRT monitor with a security camera front.
Yes.
On you know, CCTV
people
video
People never
helmet.
Seen the protesters in the 70s and 80s where they had this giant TV set on their head. This is kind of what we're talking about.
But why has she got, if she sat inside this massive immersive display, why is there a TV in front of her?
Yeah, why is there a screen in front of her?
She appears to be trying to look at the control through the toilet seat cover, and she's manipulating the trigger while she not watches what appears to be a desktop pattern of some kind.
It looks like clouds. She's like,
and there's a camera, and there's a camera on her screen
it's the cloud
capturing
game.
Her.
You know what's odd is there are only you're right. Nobody reads the Daily Mail. There are only 7 comments on this story. So I think
first post.
Really, one of them's first post,
and it was posted on October 16th.
So there you go. Nobody does read the Daily Mail. Proof.
No,
positive.
I guess they don't. Well, that's where you can get some exclusive stuff.
And if we need to get Alex Lindsay to get one of these. I want to see.
If
Alex
you look at the 7 comments, 4 of them have been taken off.
Yeah, there's only 3 on there. So it's just you're right. You're right. The Daily Mail. Sucks.
Why isn't she listing to one side or
I don't
another?
Know. That's she what keeps her head up.
We should have a contest. How many things are horribly, horribly wrong with this photo?
It's done. I'm putting it on the blog now. What's wrong with this picture?
Do you think it's photoshopped?
And worst of all, it's not even plugged in.
Not even plugged in. So hackers attempted to bring down the internet. Did you notice that?
No.
No, me neither.
By the way, about that story, Leo, which is what we're talking about for people out there who want to know, is the DNS system has been under attack or was attacked recently. But according to Mark Perkel over at Computer Time, who's my ISP, he says that this has been continuing. This is not hasn't stopped yet. And the big boys don't know quite what to do about it. They've got it under control, but you're going to get a lot of outages.
Actually, Steve Gibson has said this for some time, that this is the weak link on the internet. There are only 13 root servers. If you could attack all 13. Now, remember that the DNS is cached, but it's only cached for 24 hours or so. So if you could attack all 13, bring them down for 24 hours, the internet would stop working.
According
to
Mark,
buy some really cool IP addresses.
According to Mark, all these attacks are coming from China, North Korea, and some other Asian.
Well, I don't know how you can tell though, that's where the zombies live. You don't know who's.
Well, that's what he says.
It could be coming from the White House. We don't know. We don't know where that's just the zombies. That's the problem with these attacks. The real problem is, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, as Vince Cerf said. He estimated 150 million computers, one quarter of all computers, are owned by hackers or zombified.
Right. And we all believe that number is low.
So if that's the case, it wouldn't take much. And this is a real weak link. Now, I understand they are going to try to upgrade these, but there is no solution because these are legitimate requests. You can't refuse them or the thing won't work.
I don't see why somehow they can't track these guys down and put them in jail.
It's just kind of the nature, I think, of the internet. This is kind of.
I wonder if there's a way that the ISPs could monitor traffic outbound from their.
Yeah, they can. In fact, that's the way to stop this. It uses raw sockets, so it's spoofing the IP address. So all an ISP has to do is say, "Hey, that's not my IP address. Stop it." Mm-hmm. But by the way, ISPs could stop spam too, but the cost to business is so great that they don't do either. I don't know why. Maybe they ought to.
How much does it cost?
Well. I don't think it would cost much to say if the traffic doesn't come from my internet, you know, my pool of IP addresses, I'm not going to pass it along. Maybe that's why, you know what, that's probably why it's coming from China and South Korea. These are probably not well monitored.
Couldn't you just force everybody to use authenticated SMTP?
Well, for spam you could, but that's another issue. That's a whole other problem.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah, I think every expert I've heard from says that if the internet service providers wanted to stop these kinds of attacks or spam, they could. We don't know. I don't know. I'm not expert enough to know that. If Veronica were here, we could ask her.
They're too busy raking in the money.
So what is do you know anything about this quantum computing, John? this D-Wave?
Oh, coming? You know, this has come and gone a number of times in the media. I mean, Markoff covers it every so often.
It seems bogus to me.
Well, there's something legitimate about it, but I have no idea what.
In February, oh, that's now. Coming up February 13th in Mountain View. Sorry, the registration is closed. And the 15th in Vancouver, registration is closed. So maybe I don't know. Tom, can you get down there and cover this? They're going to demonstrate these quantum computing systems, 16 qubit. I'm sorry. And that's one of the things that's different about quantum computing. They don't
What's a qubit? It's a quantum bit.
Yeah. It's the way that the quantum processor stores its information. It's in a superposition.
It means that they're going to show off this demo that they'll show off will do 2 to the 16th calculations simultaneously. So 64,000 calculations a cycle. And I don't know how fast these computers are, but that's a lot. You know, that's a lot.
That's going to be a heck of a zombie.
The real hot story this week is the... when is this running, by the way? Because I have mine on
Sunday. I can't talk about it till Monday. Monday what time? Midnight?
Midnight, yeah.
All right. This will release at 12:01 Monday morning.
Intel's rolling out a demo for their... You know, this week is the week that the Silicon Computer Conference, you know, the big chip conference in San Francisco takes place, the IASCC, whatever, where everybody gets to show off their hottest things they've developed. And Intel's got a demonstration chip that they've developed, which is a teraflop.
Whoa.
And it's and they have a whole bunch of new technologies that are involved with this thing that include, you know, 80 cores and a networking subsystem that lets the cores talk to each other. It's quite interesting. But anyway, it comes out, it goes public on Sunday night at midnight. So
it's okay for us to talk about it now?
Yeah, as long as you don't run the story until Sunday night at midnight.
12:01.
And, you know, 12:01 or whatever.
Yep.
And, yeah, and it's pretty, they had a press conference today about it, and there's a lot of new technologies that they're trying to get to, because what they determined, at least what they show on their slides, is that once you get to, normally get to 16 cores, you have diminishing returns with any more cores than that. If you get to 32, the performance goes down. Mm. And then because there's so much overhead for these things to talk to each other. So Intel's come up with basically essentially a router that lets these things talk to each other along with some other software. And they can now stack the thing. So you have memory stacked on top of memory, stacked on top of processors in these in a very small package with almost no wattage. It's astonishingly low powered. It's a very interesting breakthrough, and I think that's going to be the news next week from that chip show, because Intel has gone really into a massive publicity mode.
John, I think this is a red-letter day, the first time you've ever revealed something in Twit, a scoop, if you will. So thank you. I appreciate it.
You'll be on the blog, too, at the same time.
Teraflops. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a teraflop. Huge. They figured they got it. By the way, it's a teraflop for 65 watts.
Whoa. Now, see, that's significant. That's huge. Now I'm interested, because before I didn't want to have to plug that in.
Well, they did a teraflop machine once before in the like 95 or something like that, and it was 500 kilowatts, and it was a whole like a half a football field full of machines, and that was big parallel system. And there's a picture of it. It's called Code Red or something. I can't quite remember the name of it, but.
That's kind of what this is kind of giant cluster computing on a chip.
Yeah, except it's a thumbnail sized chip, as opposed to a room full of machines. Amazing. And that was only in 95 or so. So it's not even that far off.
Ray Kurzweil was right. About 10 years from now, you're going to be able to get a machine that's smarter than you are for $1,000.
Well, it is pretty exciting to see this quantum computer demonstrated. I don't think I've seen anything with even pretending to be commercial applications before that was having quantum computing.
Tom, go down. You've got to cover it.
There's been a lot of demonstrations of the ability to store data and run it in a lab situation, but I almost hesitate to believe these guys. I'm interested to see what their demonstration ends up being, because if you could actually run some applications, and they only claim to have two that they can run, it's just a big step. Doesn't mean they're going to go to market anytime soon with anything. But
this is a company. I mean, it's not a university research project. D-Wave is a company, presumably wanting to make money on this thing. They're in British Columbia. They're in Burnaby. So interesting. I'm very, very interested to see what happens. One more story. I don't know whether to applaud the EFF or laugh at them. They're apparently suing the Department of Defense, demanding information on how the Army monitors soldier blogs. For some reason, they think soldiers' rights to free speech are being infringed. Don't you think the military should be monitoring blogs from active duty servicemen?
Well, from what I understand of this, what they're suing for is for the military to release the guidelines under which they remove information. They don't actually want them to stop, necessarily. They just want the public to know what kinds of things the military are removing. So are they removing legitimate security violations, confidential information, or are they just censoring, saying we don't like those opinions and we don't want people to say it?
I don't know. I mean, it's from World War II. Remember, they draw, well, you don't remember, but I remember.
Oh, I remember.
They draw black lines.
What do you mean you remember? You weren't even alive in World War II.
I've seen all those movies. Remember John Wayne storming Normandy?
They draw the lines through them. That's
you were saying the other day all that stuff Lincoln did during the Civil War. You were a good deal younger.
Merlin, you're just stirring up stuff by sending out these FARC pictures in the middle of Twitter.
I'm not responsible.
Nobody is now thinking about the mill blogs. They're looking at me. What is this?
Well, I like the Easter Island one.
Leo,
you're famous. I'm blogging that one.
It's the latest Photoshop contest on FARC is Photoshop Leo Laporte.
there's a Leo on the set of Call for Help. He's on the set of Call for Help looking at his BlackBerry.
Yeah, ironically, it is funny. I am, in fact. Which is your favorite? I like the one where I'm saying, "Dear Penthouse, I never thought this would happen to me. This girl, anyway."
The best one actually is the Easter Island one in terms of award winning.
Where's the Easter Island one?
It's way down there.
I like the idea of you in a pool full of swimming pool full of frolicking people, and you're there on the edge playing with your BlackBerry.
Yeah, exactly.
With a shirt on.
George Jetson. What kind of a marsupial is eating my head there? I don't know.
Yes.
I think that's stretching the contest a little far, right?
Instead of us dwelling on this, we should put a link on the website.
We will. You'll be able to see it all. I'm still looking for the Easter Island. That's good. I like it. My head on a statue. Anyway, sorry, but I was a little distracted by Merlin's shenanigans.
That was
man.
Will, sir. That
oh,
was
Will
not
did
me.
That? Oh yeah. Thank you.
I take no responsibility.
See, Will's the kid in the class who looks good. You know, he's got that British accent. He looks like he's paying attention. He is, in fact, getting Merlin in trouble. And Merlin's the kid in class who's like making the jokes and the teacher gets mad at you, right?
Dude, that is totally my MO.
I know it is. I can tell. And Merlin, that's you, isn't it? That's your life story right there.
It is. You know, English people love spanking. That's what it comes down to. This is really well documented.
It's known. It's a known fact. The whole culture is actually built around that. Many people don't know that. Gmail is now public. It's no longer in beta.
I think it's still in beta.
Oh, it's still in beta, but
just now you don't have to be invited.
You can get your own damn invitation.
They got enough server capacity now, so they can do it.
Right. They never had enough before.
But
actually, that's an interesting thing that happened with Yahoo Pipes. The first couple of days, you couldn't get on. It was so popular. They underestimated the popularity of Pipes.
It's funny to talk to guys at these companies because they'll tell you that there's pretty much no way you can really prepare for what's going to happen.
But gosh, you think Yahoo
once you put it out. There's all kinds of things that when you're doing software, there's no way to know what's really going to happen until you throw some users at it. And I know that apparently happens a lot at Google with people just being terrified that their product will ever appear on the homepage.
Think Secret says, look for Leopard, iLife 07, and iWork 07 by March. This really is more for Mac Break Weekly, but I'm short of stories. So.
What, Leopard by March?
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
Wow.
It's ambitious.
From what I've seen of Leopard, it's going to be June at the earliest, but maybe, who knows?
Leo, I put some stuff in the 4Twit basket.
All right, let me check the 4Twit basket, see what our troublemaker has come up with. if there's FARC links in here, you're in deep trouble. You know, we used to have Drew from FARC on the screensavers all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That site is now huge.
He was just starting out back then.
Yeah. I think we put him on the map. Maybe not. I don't know. All right. You pick one that you... I'm looking at them, Will, but what one do you like?
Well, I quite like... From a sort of slightly more geek out perspective, the NVIDIA Vista driver stuff, because that's affecting a lot of people who have spent real money right now.
You mean there are not good drivers for NVIDIA cards?
Oh, it's so much worse than that. It's not only are there not good drivers, but they're focusing on getting the drivers out for the stuff, for the really high-end stuff, for the games that aren't even coming out till like March or April. So if you bought a high-end NVIDIA product, like 3 or 4 months ago, maybe 4 months ago, you're not going to get an SLI driver or even a proper driver for gaming in Vista until like April, May at the earliest.
Oh.
And I mean, if you've just spent 400, 300 quid, you know, hundreds of dollars on one of these cards, you've got to be pretty sick right now. And it's not like...
Does it work in Vista or it just doesn't work well in Vista? It still works,
Well, it works if you want it to work like a $100 graphics card rather than a $400 graphics card.
I've got a laptop that's doing that because it doesn't have a proper driver in Vista. So when it runs like, you know, generic graphics card, which means Media Center doesn't work.
Yeah. Don't
videos don't stream like, right. I can't output it to an HDTV anymore.
And the problem is that...
Is it the DRM? Is that what's causing these issues?
No, it's with the NVIDIA ones. It's their previous top-end card was like a mash of two cards on one board, which used SLI. It was like SLI on a single card. Mm-hmm. But they haven't managed to get SLI working properly in Vista. So that high-end card basically doesn't work.
Well, this is going to happen with a new operating system, right?
Sure, that's why you shouldn't get it.
You should hold off. I like Vista a lot better than XP.
You can't even get the these hybrid hard disks for another 6 months.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember back to XP and... And back farther. And this is pretty normal, right? It takes a little while for everything to catch
up. You always jump on board before everybody else anyway.
Nothing works.
Yeah, just wait for SP1.
It looks like the speech recognition is working in Vista.
Actually, that works pretty nicely, yeah.
Did you see the flaw?
What's that?
Have you seen the flaw?
What's the flaw? What happens?
You can send somebody an audio file.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What happened?
Apparently it's been confirmed. Well, yeah, actually, you probably know more about it than I do, but just reading a couple stories here that apparently you can send an audio file that will allow you to execute commands over a speech recognition.
Oh, great.
If somebody has their speech recognition on and the mic is active and near the speakers.
Oh, of course.
You can totally take over their machine.
There's a fix, Leo. You turn off your speakers.
Turn off your speakers or turn off your mic?
Closed. Bug closed.
Speakers closed.
That bug is my closed.
Can't you in an office
works for
full
me.
Of these things? Could you yell real loud, erase C, star dot, you know, or...
Right.
What somebody was suggesting
format
going...
C, star dot star, or something like that?
Somebody was suggesting going to the white phone in the airport and paging reset.
Reset.
Set. We'll reset.
Paging RM star, RM star.
RM star. That's funny. But what command really could you issue? You know, open browser... Go to Dvorak.org/blog. Well, that's not a bad idea.
You may take it.
Format C ://
Yes, exactly.
But then it gives you all these. That's a question. Does the voice recognition allow you to say yes, okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So you'd have to say a few okays.
And the irony is it has apparently gotten a lot better, right?
Right,
the,
it works.
The quality of the speech recognition. Oh, man. They can't buy a break.
Is any of the group here actually using that, or are you just...
The speech recognition?
I played around with it. If I had RSI, you know, I had bad wrists, I could probably get by with it. It wasn't perfect, but it could actually recognize you. And if you had a good mic and a set of headphones for security reasons, then you could probably make do with it, because it did work. I did a video on it, and I was able to make it open the calculator, close the calculator, write some stuff that I said down. You know, I could control
you could do
the whole
dictation
computer
with it.
Oh yeah.
Who was it that was in our on our web team who had RSI would use the Dragon to dictate?
Lewis Wallace. He was the homepage editor.
Yeah, and there was a woman. I can't remember her name, darn it, and I'm embarrassed. Cause
you know, that thing, you know, these things are sketchy because I, for example, have had nothing but trouble, and I've looked at these things since the earliest ones, because, you know, if your voice if you don't have the right tones in your voice, and I have like a voice that lacks a lot of lower mid-range. And
I have to tell you that, John.
I have notes below it and above it, but there's a huge missing area, and these things are looking for mostly like kind of screechy mid-range type voices.
Try out Vista speech recognition. I'd be interested to see if you have the same problem with it.
Well, there's also the issue in an office environment. This woman who was using it to do her articles for the Tech TV website, somebody, I can't remember who, some wag snuck up behind her with one of those paddle ball things and went bop, 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 and I kept putting periods in her.
Sounds like a good story.
I saw it happen. I know it's there. So Arthur Oakes Sulzberger, chairman, owner, and publisher of the New York Times, was at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland.
You should have done Twit from there.
Wouldn't that have been great? We'll go next year.
It wouldn't be great. It's a long way to drive.
I don't think you can drive there.
And it's cold.
So he says, I don't know whether we'll be printing the Times in 5 years, he says. You know what? Yeah. I don't care either, he says.
The internet is a
wonderful place to be. How old is this guy?
This guy's not as old as you'd think. I mean, I don't know what he's thinking. You know, the internet's a great place, but I mean, if you got a newspaper that's so dominant like that, it's not like they're, you know, I mean, he's equating his online viewership to his print viewership.
Yeah, but listen, he says,
it's ludicrous.
He says he has 1.5 million people a day reading the online site compared to 1.1 million reading the print edition.
Yeah, but the print edition is like 100 page views, or actually, if you looked at each article individually, maybe 1,000 or 2,000 page views if you wanted to equate it to the internet. And when you go on the internet, the average user hits maybe 4 or 5 on the outs, like Yahoo, they hit maybe 8 pages. That's like I mean, there's a minuscule total compared to what you get in terms of pure content delivery on a big newspaper like that. The guy's clinically insane.
He doesn't like spending the money on the newsprint, I'm sure.
I don't know what it is, but it's ludicrous. I mean, there's no comparison. I mean, the numbers aren't even the same. It's just, yeah, sure, you got 1 million, you know, so what? I mean, PC Magazine, we get like 1 million a day. It's not the same as the New York Times. I mean, you don't have the same kind of income.
Right.
Maybe he's an investor in e-ink.
He says, if you want to read the New York Times online, you will have to pay. So maybe that's his
The worst of both worlds.
Yeah, he's going to ruin
it. He's got quite a business model going there.
He's going to ruin it.
I'll give up my newspaper when I have ubiquitous internet and a device that doesn't require a backlight to read.
Yeah, good point.
And then I could just download it immediately and have pretty much the same experience. Holding something in my hand, I could just read by natural light.
Yeah, if that 5-year plan includes ubiquitous wireless and the ability to have some kind of subscription based on something like, say, pipes, to bring it back around.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a different thing. And if it's a reader that you can take on for me, like take on Couch,
even so, it's a different medium. I mean, this is like,
yeah, but don't you think he's saying that the print medium is in trouble and dying? Not due to
apparently that's what he's saying, but I'm not, you know, I think this is, you know,
he doesn't believe he has a choice, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, he's obviously lost it, because I mean,
they get a larger registration base. Let's say they charge a little bit less than they're charging right now. They get a lot more people signed up. They're going to be able to use all that demographic information to push out much more targeted ads, get a higher CPM.
And the great dream of the crazy advertising world.
Well, you know, the
people
numbers
don't
are
like being up. Targeted to that extreme. I mean, there's going to be a backlash against this sort of thing. I don't like people's, hey, John, hey, here's something we think you'd be interested in. 90% of the time, they're wrong anyway.
I don't know. I think research shows people will tolerate ads if it's something they're interested in buying or want to know more about much better than they'll tolerate
random ads. More importantly, people will pay a lot. There's a reason there's ads for golf stuff on an airplane. And that's you know, the kind of audience that they know they can reach. And I don't know. I think that as that stuff gets a little smarter, that there's going to be a good deal more money there.
But what
what's fun is reading the Sunday paper, though.
You know, the thing is that, yeah, this all sounds good on paper, but I think Tom would attest to this because CNET has been in the forefront of advertising online from the beginning. And they have to keep up in the ante. They got to go to the big ad in the middle, and then they have to do this. I mean, people will get, yeah, maybe those targeted ads look good on paper for now. But then after a while, people get used to them, and then they stop seeing them. And so the next thing comes along. And then there's something else, and then there's something else. Because, you know, you have to keep, it's almost like an addiction, yeah, and you have to keep up in the dose. And then pretty soon people say, hey, this sucks. These ads, there's too many of them. I'd rather have something with no ads.
So if you were a Sulzberger, would you be going with a pay model? Or with a more ad-centric model? You'd go with a pay model?
I'd never go with a pay model. I mean, that the Wall Street Journal.
So they're gonna like pay their employees with Confederate script and hard candies, or how would they, in terms of getting into more of an e based or you know an online format?
I wouldn't. I think
how would you monetize
entire
them?
Strategy is crazy. I mean, I don't know what he's thinking. It baffles me. I mean, they've done a wonderful job of getting the print version of the newspaper
nationwide.
Delivered in Albany, California. Yes, for God's
nationwide.
Sake! I mean, they never used to have anything like that before. I mean, it's unbelievable that he's even thinking of backtracking.
I think the key would be to create LED-based electronic devices that they could float down the Charles River. I think that's going to change the business model entirely.
Yeah, or some way to push out the content that you want that's relevant to you, if it could be pushed.
But surely the whole point of a newspaper is that, like, you glance over the stuff that isn't relevant to you in the fact you might find it of interest. I worry that in this sort of, you know, an age of targeted everything, like, you know, I only want these kind of news stories, and you lose all your context of the world, and in the end, all you end up reading about is, like, the same thing over and over and over again.
No, I'm in total agreement with that. The newspaper is like lots of discovery, things you didn't know you wanted to read about. Kind of interesting things from, you know, different perspectives.
You sound like old farts now.
That still happens on the web. I mean, how many people use the default settings on a My Yahoo or a My Google page because, you know, or they pull in stuff that's recommended, or, you know, people still do that even on the web. I think the only thing that's going to replace the newspaper, though, is something that works like the newspaper, and it'll just be the electronic version of it.
And also, there's still a lot of discoverability, because I subscribe to a lot of RSS feeds, and I'll follow stuff, and I'll follow other people's links to things. So, I mean, maybe I'm not going to learn something in a language I don't speak or something, but I do find there is still a lot of discoverability out there. I think it's a little bit of a straw man to say that goes away completely. But
I think it's generational. I mean, I think my kids are never going to use print. You know, I mean, they're going to, it's all, they live on screens.
They aren't even using email anymore. People are treating their MySpace pages like email now. I mean, this is all evolving so fast.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the reasons these newspapers are having trouble, I mean, they moan and groan about this and that. One thing, they never paid much attention to the fact that you have a Craigslist in the world that's going to give away classified. So they never adjusted to that. And they knew 20 years ago this was going to happen. And then the other thing is their product stinks. Has anybody looked at some of these newspapers and compared them to some of the newspapers of like 50 years ago?
Oh yeah,
it's just ridiculously crappy.
Papers
these
were
products
so 50
costly.
Years ago?
Yeah, they can't pay the reporters anymore. The good ones,
very
anyway.
Costly.
You know, I
well,
like the maybe wa- if they I, let's use the Wall Street Journal. I like the Wall Street Journal. The print edition's great. I subscribe to both the print and the online edition, and I use both frequently.
It's a pretty dense. It's a good example of a fairly dense.
It's a good paper, isn't it?
Okay,
yeah.
But also look who they're targeting.
And getting a little lightweight with these features, which I think is what's killing newspapers to begin with. A newspaper is supposed to be about news. It's not supposed to be about features. These long winded features about hemlines or something that's got nothing to do with anything. Or
so should be all steamer arrivals and criminal reports.
What about Newsweek this week? Newsweek had a cover. The cover on Newsweek is Paris Hilton and Britney.
When's
Spears?
The last time you even saw a steamer arrival mentioned. I mean, where are you?
Need more steamer.
I'm going back a little farther, I guess.
Why not? I think it would be cool
good.
To see. I mean, I didn't know the Queen Mary was coming into town. It wasn't in the paper.
I read it in the paper.
Yeah,
that's
the
how
paper
I found
it.
I saw it on the SF Gate site.
Yeah, no, that was all over the place.
All right, whatever.
Yeah. That's a steamer coming in. There
you go.
here's a good example of a mediocre. Here's you have SF Gate. I was looking at this the other day because I know the guys at SF Gate are trying to fix their product a little bit. So I'm looking at the front page of this thing, and there's this big the picture that they show, the photograph, is a big pitcher, you know, like a milk pitcher that's filled with about halfway up with honey or maple syrup or something, and it's shot in one of these little cubes that photographers use to shoot food pictures, and that's the picture that's supposed to be grab your interest.
Syrup.
It's a big jar.
Everything's coming up syrup.
I mean, what is this? I mean, look at this thing. How boring can these people? Could you be any more boring? I mean, I can't imagine.
Gate is the website of the San Francisco Chronicle, which is the primary newspaper in San Francisco. Just for those people who.
So, you know, if you're going to bore the public to death with the product and you wonder why your search goes down, hey, look within.
Look within thy soul, grasshopper.
Look to your inner syrup.
I was a little miffed at Newsweek for putting Britney Spears and Paris Hilton on the cover and saying Girls Gone Wild. That didn't seem like a hot news.
My first rat hole. I've watched this happen with CNN in particular, the CNN site, where it is increasingly that little kind of bulleted side rail they've got, it's just getting more and more asinine. And you remember after 9/11,
people
like, hey, everything's no more celebrity worship. It's all going to be about hard news. And it's always
people
is Lindsay Lohan coked
stuff.
Up? You know,
yeah, that's what they want. Anna Nicole Smith.
But you know what? This goes straight to the point I was making badly, though, which is that it's really hard to please everybody, especially with a print edition. And in this case, they're trying to split their attention in all these different ways. And like good old Salon, they end up doing a whole bunch of wire stuff. I mean, God, how much wire stuff do you see now on things like on SFGate? And I think it comes down to it's very, very costly to do. A lot of bureaus have closed in the last 25 years.
They can't afford their reporters anymore.
Well, they can't afford the reporters, but they can sure afford to pay the executives big bonuses. Yeah. But you can't afford the reporters. So in other words, some guy that doesn't really do much, a vice president gets, $500,000 a year, but you can't afford the reporters. I mean, this can't afford the reporters thing is out of control. The other thing is, how much does it cost to be running wire service stuff all the time? They can't afford the reporters. They don't even bother.
That's just something to hang out.
They just run a bunch of AP stories, or these little papers around here run New York Times stories from the syndicate. I mean, it's just they do everything on the cheap. They don't pay for anything, and then they produce a crappy product that anyone can produce who subscribes to the AP feed or UPI. And then they have a crappy product, and people say, I don't know, I'm not interested. They don't want to resubscribe. I've had people, they offer free subscriptions. You can get it for a month or a year. And I say, no, I don't want it. I'd just as soon go online and get my news. You guys, the paper stinks.
Well, now you're
am
just
I, am I making myself
point.
Clear?
Yeah, you're proving our point. Online,
you just said you went
future.
Online.
I went online
just
because
you agree with Arthur Sulzberger.
Because no, but it's not for the same reasons. I mean, I'm only in agreement because if the product was good, I would have a newspaper come into the house.
So they can go online and produce a crappy product, and everybody.
Well, you know what? I don't read the local. I mean, my wife reads SFGate a lot, and once in a while she finds some good stories. But generally speaking, I go to I internationalize myself.
RSS feeds, and I just scan a bunch of feeds.
Or you go to Google News.
Yeah, or go to Google. You don't go to sites anymore. You don't go to individual sites anymore.
Yeah, the one thing that I think is going to, this is just a super quickie, but I think the thing that's really killing discoverability, and I'm getting this firsthand, is all of the top N sites.
What does that mean?
Where you end up, even something like Dig, which is a site that I enjoy, or something like Yahoo Most Popular, and you end up just seeing, I think that's the part that kills discoverability, is when you're constantly just getting the hive mind mm-hmm. idea of what's out there.
But,
and
I
that's
mean,
right.
That's
a site like,
pretty
like
good.
Arts
I mean,
and Letters.
You're getting exposed to a lot of stuff from Dig.
Well, it's
it's always
pop.
The same 10 stories.
Yeah,
that's
why to me, to find out, it's great to find a few sites that you're very excited about. For me, it might be something like Obscure Store or something like Arts and Letters Daily or something. But some place where somebody's out there doing what amounts
job.
To... Exactly, bubbling up interesting content.
Well, that's what bloggers do.
Yeah, exactly.
Bloggers or podcasters. I mean, that's our job.
I mean, that story about Sulzberger himself, which I blogged... That story was pretty obscure. That was out in some guy who had been to Davos and happened to be having a chat with him. And then it went up on this very rare blog. And then it just started to trickle into the system.
Maybe an argument why people's sites, democratic sites like Dig, aren't as good as actual journalists or actual editorial types.
Although those sites wouldn't work if there weren't people out there discovering
doing
things
that.
On their own, because nothing would ever bubble up.
There's a big controversy going on over Dig, In fact, we should really get Kevin on it to address it, although I don't...
What's the controversy?
Yeah, he blogged it.
Yeah, but, well, so the point is, I guess, that they've changed... Can you explain what's going on, Will? They've changed how the top bloggers work or something?
Well, they took away the list that says the top 10 or the top 100 users.
Right.
And, of course, all these guys that were posting like crazy... they all want the recognition of being in the top 100. Well, some of them have left. Some of them have stuck around. And Kevin said in his blog that they'd consulted with the top guys.
Well, I got an email from one of the top guys. I'll leave his name out. Who says that the Wall Street Journal has been interviewing the top guys, planning on a piece talking about this abandonment of Dig or what's going on with Dig. I mean, it's true. The only reason you do this is for the recognition, right? It's a lot of work.
So the theory goes that Dig is so big now that the top contributors are far less important than the masses,
Well, I think what Digg's trying to do is to is absolutely to downplay those guys because they are so important. They dominate so much. They do, in fact, completely create the character of Digg, don't they?
I don't know enough about
that's interesting.
The raw numbers.
It is interesting.
It is a bit of a controversy.
Just in prepping for the 5 minutes I take to prepare for Mac Break Weekly each week, I watch some of the popular Mac stories and Apple stories, and there are a few usernames that come up a lot when you watch like the upcoming stories or the top Apple stories, and I assume that that's happening still across. I guess Will would know more than I do, but that's you're still seeing a lot of the same, because that's who's being watched. You can almost think of them as quote-unquote A-list bloggers, right?
Right.
The people are watching the same thing. You know, Corey posts something and everybody links to it, and that's how the blog works. Well, on Digg, if a popular poster, a popular digger, adds that link, then a lot of it's going to get picked up by that person's following. So, I mean, I guess it's just working like blogging.
It is much like blogging, isn't it? Without all the work of actually writing anything.
But I'm with you on the reputation part. I mean, there's something that's kind of ineffable about being the first person to link something. And I think there's a lot of people who are kind of, it's a good feeling, you know, there's a reason people do that. Over.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know if it's a big story. Although I have to say that Business Week, I'm just looking at article in Business Week, today's Business Week, that features Kevin Rose. He's sure getting a lot of press from them. The web now, just for you. New online tools. It's like they just discovered this. New online tools offer personalized recommendations to help
Business
users
Week
find
is
what
so
they like.
So far behind the curve consistently. It's amazing.
They're covering search engines next week?
Yes, next week, search engines on. They're talking about, it's really interesting. But they interview Kevin on this. Digg, a popular bookmarking site. Okay.
Yeah, journalism.
Okay. Yeah. That enables users to
submit
links
by the way?
To web pages. Catherine Holohan.
How much is Kevin worth this week, according to Business Week?
That's a good question. I'm looking for that here. They don't say. Later this year, Digg will launch a recommendation tool able to expose members. Wow, that doesn't seem like a good idea. To fellow to fellow diggers. Who appear to have similar interests, says Rose. Digg will be smart enough to know what interests you. This is what you were looking for. The site will identify those with like interests in part by the previous stories they've dug and buried. You know, actually, this is something I thought Digg should do a long time ago. You know, I don't care about everybody who posts to Digg. There's certain people I'm interested in. And then it's
sort
just
like
a blog.
It's just like a blog.
You're making sub-blogs from Digg.
Right. It's friends.
Yeah, and I like that feature. See, and it's kind of like your delicious network. I like that a lot.
Tom, are you back?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I think we lost you briefly there.
I was hearing alarm bells over here.
I heard those alarm bells.
Were you at the office?
Is there a fire? Yeah. Do you need to leave?
No, it wasn't that kind of alarm.
Oh.
We weren't sure what it was. I think it was a universal power thing just went belly up.
Oh,
possibly.
That's kind of what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Okay, but if there is, you know, anything going on at CNET, you can run out. It's okay.
No, if the fire alarm goes off, I'm staying.
You know, that happened.
God bless you.
That happened to Tech TV, and we did. We
He's
all stayed.
He's going down with the ship.
We're not leaving. We're not done yet. Any other stories anybody wants to say anything about before we wrap this sucker up? What was the big story this week on Buzz Out Loud? I should really listen.
It was the Steve Jobs stuff.
That's such a story.
Steve Jobs and the EMI DRM free. Yeah. That's big news.
Huge.
To our audience, because we talk about DRM all the time. So the fact that they might go DRM free is huge. Also, because in our predictions show, I just decided to make a crazy prediction and say one major label would go DRM free by the end of the year. So now I feel smart.
You picked that one.
Well, I might feel smart if they actually do it.
They're never going to do that.
Yeah, you got a whole year. I think they might.
I think it could happen.
Corey also, reasonableagreements.org, by the way, you can create your own end user license agreement that you can wear on a T-shirt or put in your emails that will release you from any other EULAs that other people are trying to agree to.
Well, if you get a chance, anyone out there, you should go to the dvorak.org/blog and look at my terms of service if you want to see the absolute best EULA out there.
Where'd you get that one?
I cobbled it together from some real ones.
Reasonable
it's actually quite
org.
Good.
It's the anti-EULA.
You have to read the whole thing, though, to get a feeling for it. Anyway.
At the end, it says, we're not responsible for anything. Dvorak.org/blog is the place to go for that. John C. Dvorak, it's so good to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
We will see you again next week. Tom Merritt from Buzz Out Loud. Go to buzz.cnet.com.
BOL.cnet.com.
Oh, I'm sorry, BOL.
That's all right.
.cnet.com. Molly's at buzz.cnet.com.
Yeah,
so
that's for, the Molly
don't
world.
Go, don't go to the Molly world. Go to the Tom world.
Go to both.
Go to both. Why not? Love having you on. Will Harris from Jolly Old. When are you leaving BitTech?
The end of March.
But still at bit-tech.net till then. Do you want to tell us what your plans are? Are you going back to school?
Well, no. I'm sort of entertaining a couple of things at the moment. I'm putting together a company idea for a startup. So if anybody has about $500,000 they want to throw in my direction,
all right,
that'd be great.
It'd be a good investment.
Yeah.
Don't hear any takers. 43folders.com is the place for Merlin Mann. Also, fives.org?
.com.
The number 5ives.com. And, of course, on Twitter, he's Hot Dogs, ladies. Is it two hot dogs or are you just saying hot dogs in general?
Oh, no, it's an offer. It's kind of more of a question. It's
hot dogs,
a question.
Ladies?
Hot dogs, ladies?
Hot dogs, yeah. Ladies? Okay, from now on,
you know
that, like
you know
that.
The source of that.
No.
Confederacy of Dunces.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
He died shortly after writing that, didn't he?
He, I think he, O'Toole? He did himself in.
His name?
Yeah.
John Kennedy Toole.
Toole?
Yeah. His mom took the manuscript and had it published after he died.
Well, there you go.
And on that note.
That upbeat. Yeah.
No. Captain Bringdown. Let's bring it back next week.
Buzzkill.
No. Buzzkill out loud. Thank you, everybody. Another twit is in the can.
Maybe somebody will send you a car.
Hey, there you go.
I could, well, maybe.
How could we do this? Go ahead, make it play. Make it.
Well, you know, I think it should be a Lexus.
I think you should get a, and you could do Lexus ads on Twit. That'd be great.
You know, like every week, you know, on they Twit, do you make. Yeah, to be honest about it, I mean, I have. This is my second Lexus. I should have been on my third by now, but it's the best car I've ever owned, ever.
You know what?
It's been a quiet, week on Twit, but not as Lexus. Quiet as my Lexus.
I'll add to that. I bought a Lexus because of you, John.
Right, you did. I had some influence, but I couldn't talk you into getting the V8.
I got the wrong engine. He wanted me to get the big engine, and I got the wrong tires, apparently. But in every other, and the wrong color. You told me it would. You told me the silver would peel, and you were right.
Yeah, silver peels. It's just a problem with that kind of paint. Period.
But yeah, no, it's fault. We love Lexus. Would you like an IS, a GS, or an LX?
I think
an RX.
Another, well, no, I think the SC, that's the one I'm angling.
Oh, you want the SC?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Wait, did we just become This Week in Autos? Or This Week in Paychecks?
For a price.
This
Week
in
Begging. For a Twitter. Price.
You know, we're working on it. We can take this tape and we'll send it to the agency and we'll see what they can do for us.
Hey, if the Daily Mail wants to buy ads, we'll sell them ads. We don't care.
Doing the Twit.
Doing the Twit.
All right. Twit, baby. Doing the Twit. All right. Doing the Twit, baby.